This is episode 157 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel. Stay safe, people. Manzano.
Yeah, I mean, stay safe. You know, whatever you're going to do, you do it, but stay safe.
Will Holdo gave me a second wind. Hagwood.
I'll give you a Veda, I swear. Just give me that second wind.
And Ryan, the co-pilot, Stanisewski.
To the one and only pilot, Dion.
I pretend at least. All right, everybody. So first, let's go ahead and start with our announcements for this week. If you didn't know, I took a nap and then continued working, but just a little while ago, we crowned our Space Jam LA champion, and that was Rodrigo De Nicole out of Brazil. Congratulations to him. We're going to talk about lists and all that here in a little bit, but that's super awesome. We have one more Space Jam event to wrap up the series, and that's going to be in Sydney, Australia. There are tickets still available. Last time I checked, there were 18 tickets. The buying pattern for this one has been really interesting. It's just been like a few every day. People going like, I think I want to do it. And I think right now what's happening is there are some American and European players who are looking at the time difference and going like, I think I can make it work. So if you are brave enough, or if you're Australian and you want to play some X-Wing, go ahead, get your tickets, goldsquadronpodcast.com.
Look, it starts at 7 our time. Actually, for the West Coast, it's not even that bad. It's 5 p.m. Yeah. Friday. So it's just like you get off of work and you go straight to play. And it's 7 our time. I figure if you're unsure and you just want to play a little bit, just bring a really fun, janky, silly, dumb list. Go 1-3, 2-2, whatever, and be in bed by 11 or midnight.
There you go. That's legal. And you participated, you get the participation stuff. Like, that's the only thing you need to do to get the participation prize is actually play that day. So
yeah, the Australians are going to find out how we play when we're either half asleep or drunk at midnight. So rounds 5 and 6 are going to be interesting.
All right. And now, Patreon update. Good news. I have received all of the cards that are part of the July shipment, which is awesome. And also inside that box are prizes that have to do with the to be announced. And I don't have the. I'm using this name because of how I'm going to structure the event. The hemispheric championships that are being planned. Okay, Western Hemisphere versus Eastern Hemisphere, New World versus Old. It'll be great. All right. Anyway, cool stuff on the way. But it's time. It's time to talk about Space Jam LA. It was an awesome event. We had 148 players from around the world playing, trying to figure out who would be the champion. And I figured a real easy way to start, guys, is let's just go ahead and look at our top 8 lists. Does that sound fair? Let's do it. Let me go ahead.
Yeah, bring him on.
Let's go ahead and start here. And we'll just do round robin style. We'll go ahead and start with Will. Our champions list. What was it?
This is an 8-ship droid swarm. We have 2 hyenas with plasma torpedoes. We got 3 vultures with discords. And three without discords, then rounding out an 8 ship total.
Cool. Next, we get to the Resistance, our runner-up player.
I'll take that one because yep. I played yeah, we'll against him.
Keep going around the circle.
Yep. So I played against Bryant round 6. He beat me. He's the one that knocked me off the cut. I learned something. Don't put Luke Skywalker range 1 on a target lock double focus ray. Bad idea.
Bad.
Don't do it. Mm-hmm. All right. So Ray, he has the resistance at running at 200 points with Ray, Rose Tico, Freelance Slicer, Finn, Deadman Switch, the Millennium title. And then he's got Covenel with Heroic, Leia, R4, Estromech, and ZZ with Heroic, Crackshot, and Advanced Optics. And at least in my game, the upgrade that made the biggest difference out of all of these was actually the Freelance Slicer. Don't Rose Tico matched with Freelance Slicer. Don't sleep on that. Just jam three times a turn sometimes.
Let's go ahead and this is actually a great opportunity. Let me bring up the card here because maybe some people are not familiar with Freelance Slicer.
I would say not being familiar with how Freelance Slicer works and how Rose Tico combined with Freelance Slicer works was one of the major reasons why I lost that game against them. I just wasn't prepared to have most of my attacks, including with my torpedoes. I was flying Luke Wedge, AP5. They were single modded because most of the time the target lock was jammed off because there was target lock for days with bros. So very, very effective.
Yeah. If you're not familiar, so Rose says, while you defend or perform an attack, you may spend one of your results to acquire a lock on the enemy ship. So that's every single time they're basically dice rolled against a ship that is holding Rose, there's potential to pick up a target lock. And then what goes with that is the Freelance Slicer. It says, while you defend, so now this is while you're being shot, before the attack dice are rolled, you may spend the lock you have on the attacker to roll one attack die. If you do, the attacker gains one jam token. So that means if you trigger this, the jam happens on the enemy. Possible bad part is that on the hit or a crit, the person who has the Freelance Slicer might take a jam. But for Rey, usually at this point, she's either used the tokens or she's just using the Force anyway. But yeah, like you were saying, Marcel, is that if you have multiple shots going into Rey, she could be jamming you every single person.
Yeah, so for example, I would shoot with Wedge. She would jam Wedge. And then, you know, she has no more lock. And then the target lock double force shot from Luke, she would shoot and then purposely take one of the, you know, one of the die and just get a target lock no matter what. So when I would shoot my torpedo with Luke, she would already have the target lock prepped to jam me. So, and I ended up rolling one hit. I think I did out of three dice shots, I only did two damage total. I mean, it not being able to reroll just completely destroyed my Alpha Strike list. So again, against other matches, I'm probably sure there was other cards that made the difference, but at least against an Alpha Strike, you know, list that relies on double modding your shots, it was it just neutered me, neutered the list. I was trying to throw stuff and it wouldn't stick.
It's like no. Yeah. All right, awesome. Let's continue down the list here.
So next up we have a local of mine, Cody Wood, running his triple silencers, or what we've kind of dubbed Silence I Kill You. It's got Kylo Ren, Blackout with Fanatical, and a standard Jameis Engineer, which is the I-1 silencer with advanced optics at 196 points. Cody has been working on this since we were in more of a hyperspace meta, focusing on those events, and he's definitely become a master at flying those silencers, being patient when to commit in, utilizing the speed that they have and their auto thrusters ability for that repositioning efficiency with the linked actions.
Yeah, there's nothing really like tricksy here, right? There's just three solid chassis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the silencer as a chassis is very good. Three agility backed up by with the base two shields and four hull.
It's just good. Just good. I actually played this list today for our league. Super fun. All right, let's bring it around the horn here. Adam Kempers had a six-piece separatist squad. It's something you don't see too often. So you have General Grievous in the Balba Lab with Crackshot, Impervium Plating, and Solus One. You had two, not one, but two bombardment drones with delayed fuses, which we talked about this during stream, Ryan, that Adam had been running this list without the delayed fuses for a while, and the list just got better being able to have that flexibility with the bombs. And then we had three Trade Federation drones with the Discord missiles and the grappling struts. Just super solid, very good jousty list. Though I think he ended up playing against Rodrigo in the top four, and in that eight versus six matchup, he was not able to have enough horses in the race. Yeah, we actually cut to his game at one point, and I think the only thing he had left was Grievous. Is that right?
Yeah, it was Grievous, and there were still the Hyenas on the board of Rodrigo. One of them maybe halved a couple Trade Federation drones down, but Kemper's list doesn't exactly excel against high-powered or high-ship-count jousts. Those automatic damage from the Discord missiles and bombs tend to favor against smaller ship counts where that auto damage is a higher percentage of the overall list.
Yep, let's go ahead and take a look at the next one.
Is that to me?
Yep.
All right, we got Dutch flying some resistance. Let's say Blue Squadron, Heroic Advance, Optics, Blue Squadron A-Wing. I guess there's two Blue Squadrons in Resistance. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 A-Wings, Blue, Ronith, Zari, Greer, and ZZ. In every one except for Zari has Heroic and Advanced Optics. Classic, great dice modifiers for the two attack dice, guns, and keeping their 3 agility defense consistent. The trick here, though, is Zari Bengal with Intimidation. Zari is the one that can still get actions even when they run into a ship, when they don't fully execute a maneuver. You don't skip your perform action step. So that way, Zari can just 5 forward, just go crazy right into the enemy formation and try to get that ship locked down with Intimidation, making sure that those 2 attack dice A-Wings can really do some damage.
Super good. I mean, we know that these Resistance A-Wings are just solid. They all just have such good abilities. Man.
No, I like the that extra spice, getting that intimidation out there. Because, if you can take someone's tokens away with a block and reduce their agility, pretty good.
All right, so let's go ahead to the next one, Marcel.
Sure. So Dutch was actually my second loss. Well, my first loss, but my second loss. Overall, those A-Wings are tough to beat. All right. The next list is Rebel Ben Roberts flying Rebels Nora Arc 170 Wedge with just the S-Foils, Thane with just the S-Foils, and surprisingly, the Zap Attack Shuttle. You don't see a lot of that, but basically, I think he just really wanted a Leia carrier, Zebul Leia. He just wanted a Leia carrier that it has some survivability to it. And Zeb, just with not being in, with canceling crits before hits, just gives it, you know, it makes it harder to get that double damage or that fuel leak or something that'll make them more squishy. So interesting list. I like it. And all of them have 3 dice guns. Wedge, you can say he kind of has a 4 dice gun just because of his native ability. So, yeah. Good, chunky, rebel, old school list.
Now, really quickly, there was a question in the chat, which I think is important. We actually forgot to mention it. So, Sir, Mr. Dr. Love here asked, what happens with Freelance Slicer while firing a proton torpedo? Do you still get to fire the torpedo? The answer is yes. And we can take a... So the wording on Freelance Slicer is while you defend. So you're not actually defending until it's time to roll the dice. So the attacker has already selected the weapon and has already met those requirements before Freelance Slicer triggers.
Yeah, so you just roll it with either one mod being your force... Or with no mods, if like on one occasion I tried to attack him because Wedge was already in smoke. I try to hit him just and roll four dice natty, and that's not typically a good idea.
I will add that it does mess with advanced targeting computer on the TIE Advanced X1s because that has the same wording. That you need to have the target lock when you roll the dice.
Yep.
So you do not get your bonus for that.
Sad. All right. Next one, Hand of Venica.
You did it again. Hand of Vecna.
Ah, dang it, I did it again! Ah, adding extra syllables.
Say, what is Venica?
Vecna. Well, see, okay. Ah, I'm sorry, fam. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So this is a very interesting list. And I believe Vecna has actually been using this in the past couple, or at least from Rome, this Empire list, which utilizes Echo with Fifth Brother, Passive Sensors, and Crackshot, and four base Scimitar Squadron Pilot TIE Bombers, all with Proximity Mines. 2-point bid, probably just... Not sure where else to use those points, or maybe likes a bit against potentially other I-4s. It's really interesting to see Vecna did have a game against Cody Wood in the top cut. They actually had played previously in Swiss, so they had one chance to face each other prior. It's very interesting to see Vecna utilized Echo more baity than you would expect, and not by positioning, by actually staying cloaked. more often than most phantoms just say, hey, Echo's gonna be here, I'm gonna like even Echo would decloak and then take the action to recloak, just making sure it has the cloak, could spend the evade if necessary, could spend the force defensively, putting Echo likely in a spot that not a lot of ships could pounce on but may have gone for, but now we're looking at a ship with four agility depending on the range and obstructions, five or six with evade that will be used and a force, just baiting around and getting the bombers into better position.
Yeah, that it was honestly really, really clever. We talk about how the generic Inquisitor is really great with three agility, having a force when it has an evade, just super tanky. Just add one more die. It's that same exact effect, and using just like shoot me you as a shield. Like it was great, absolutely great. All right, here. And then Ian Becker was our last top eight competitor with the only scum list to make it in the top eight. We had Leighton Ashara in the M3A with Crackshot and Tractor Beam, Sarah Sue with Crackshot and Tractor Beam, and three Contraband Cybernetics Kiraz Fighters, the Cartel Marauder. Just overall a really good jousting lists. You have the tractor beam to make the Kirax's three dice hit a lot harder. You get two opportunities to do that with both Leighton and Sarasu. Sarasu helps you keep those Kirax fighters alive. Contraband is just good, of course. And then, of course, the crack shot on Leighton and Sarasu is there to try to guarantee some of that those tractor beams hitting. Pretty solid. Now, One thing that you might have noticed, people listening and watching at home, we have a distinctive lack of something in this top eight. I can't put my finger on it. I'm being facetious. It's Boba Fett. Boba Fett? Where? Where did he go?
Actually, an also distinct lack of Vader and Whisper.
Yeah, Imperial Aces, not here. Now, this is... we'll look at some of the other top 16 lists in a little bit. But this is one of the discussions I wanted to have before we go too far, is us not seeing Boba Fett out there. Or, I mean, let me just say, there was Boba Fett in the tournament. Boba Fett not getting to where you would expect them to be. I mean, in Rome, we had, like, out of the top 16, there was like 5 or 6 of them. Why are we seeing less Boba? Is it people are just not playing it, saying like, I'm kind of sick of Boba Fett, let's go ahead and try something else? Maybe there was some tech that people brought to tech against Boba, and we saw some Boba Fetts knocked out. I mean, I know, Marcel, you knocked out Teemo, our Rome champion, right?
Yeah, it was a good match, but it was scarier than I thought when I matched up against him. I was thinking to myself, okay, I think I got this.
Okay.
And then halfway through the match, not even halfway, like even before the first round of fire, and I really started taking in like all his options, I started getting nervous, like, how in the world am I going to do this initial engagement? Because no matter where I go, he can be there. So it is just an intimidating list to be against. Now, mind you, he said the same thing to me, because I was doing an Alpha Strike list that can basically, in the first round of fire, his Dengar was down to 2 hull, but, or 3 hull, whatever it was. So it was down pretty good. But it's the same thing. It's like it's one of those things that it's very frightening, everything that it can do. And up until the last turn, it was just a guessing game. It was whether because he had killed my Wedge, he had killed my AP5, and Luke was he was bleeding, he was hurt, and it was, he had to guess whether I was going to do a 4K or a 3 talon, and it was one of those 50-50 shots. So he had a 50% chance of winning, and I had a 50% chance of winning whether who guessed right, and it's just one of those scenarios where, you know, you just take a guess. and you know, I guess sad for him, guessed the wrong K turn, the wrong turn maneuver. But it's a scarier list than maybe last week I gave it credit for. Last week I think I was saying like, oh, maybe you can do all this, you can do that. But after you play against it and you realize how tanky it is, how hard it could punch, and how many options it has to, even if you really wound it, to come back and reverse the tide, I guess. Because again, I had a really strong early lead, and then all of a sudden, I didn't. So it's very versatile. Yeah, like I had a strong lead, and then all of a sudden, like, wait, Wedge just disappeared.
All right, now, Ryan, during the cast, there was a couple of things that we noticed with some lists that could match up pretty well against Boba Fett. What was maybe some of those trends that we were seeing?
So one trend directly in the same faction itself is I saw two variations, and one of them that made the top 16, JM, that brought the same Dengar, the Proton Torpedo non-title one with Han Solo Gunner, with a very fat Gurry, taking a bigger bid, because these Boba Dengars don't have as big of a bid as the Boba Fens, and you have Gurries that, the one we saw on stream was built a little differently, but JM here had a Lone Wolf Advanced Sensors Afterburner Stealth Device Virago title Gurry, I believe. Maybe JM and the I forget who was on stream, the other player, they might have been working on, like, each person try this variation of Gurry, so they might know each other. But I believe the last one had outmaneuver Gurry instead of Lone Wolf, and had a shield upgrade instead of the afterburners. So you had another additional shield on top of the Virago shield that gets added. And these these Gurry Dengars are at least have a 10-point bid, and that Gurry can dance all the way around Bobas and many other I-5s. So if your list did not have an I-6 to not only deal with Dengar shooting no matter what, essentially, mm-hmm. and had full board information, so did Gurry.
Absolutely. Now, one of the other things that... I felt that I noticed, just kind of scrolling quickly, and maybe I could actually just count it up right here because the power of technology. I felt like we saw a lot of Rey. I know that we saw a lot of Rey on stream. I'm curious to see how many actual Rey pilots there were. Let's go ahead and...
So definitely felt like we had a lot of Rey, but that could just be because of what was on stream.
Okay, so there was actually only four, but they all placed high is what happened. They all did really, really well, which we've already talked about Bryant getting it all the way into the finals with it. But one of the things that I'm noticing this kind of trend, right? So you can deal with Boba Fett in a couple ways is like I can dance around you. There's the Gurry solution, right? Or I can hit as hard as you, right? I can punch you in the face as well. Because Rey versus Boba Fett, I feel like Rey wins, especially if you have some of those tools out there, such as the Freelance Slicer or the Holdo one, which we'll talk about that in a little bit because that was just super cool. You have a chance, I think, against things like Boba Fett and Dengar because you can punch super hard.
I mean, I feel like Rey wins the range 2 and 3 engagements versus Boba, as long as she's got that front arc activated.
Yep.
And I think the key is most of the successful resistance lists that we saw had a bid of some amount. I mean, Bryant got to the finals without a bid, but that is also helped out. And when he played, Kova did a lot of coordinating on the way in. In his games, he was not afraid to let Kova hang out of the fight for a bit if it meant Rey's initial engagement was one more action better. But we see down here Travis Williamson, who also made the top cut with Rey, just took the two other I-5 RZ2s being ZZ and Tally and just having a 9-point bid, which I believe beats most Boba Dengars and Boba Koshkas right now.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, pretty cool. Now, what I'd like to do here really quickly is we also saw, at least in the top 8, a decrease in the performance for Scum, and we already said Empire. Let's go ahead and take a peek at the other, the top 16 list, and just kind of see what else gets fleshed out from there. So our 8th person was Ian Becker was the last one. So let's just kind of continue here. Will, go ahead and take it. Familiar name.
I think, are we talking about Octocom?
Yeah.
All right. We saw been seeing him a lot. I'm disappointed that he did not get into the top 4 again. He's gonna have to really get it done in his homeland, on home turf, down in the Australian Open. But Flying Scum and Villainy has 2 Zealous Recruit Fang Fighters. Those are the base I-1s. Has 4 Cartel Spacer M3 Ace, 2 with Tractor Beam, and 2 with Ion Cannon. He flies it on 2 groups, one zealot paired with a 1 tractor and 1 ion. When you can get that amount of control with the tractor beams, then being able to push through that extra hit on the ion cannon, ionizing somebody, then just closing in with those fang fighters. Plus, that's 24 health on 3 agility as well. Which is pretty amazing because they all also shoot 3 and 4 dice attacks as well. So pretty good stat line. There's no initiative because it's all I want. But I am impressed that this actually fits in a list. And Octagon's been flying it amazingly. He's got his opening down pat. He always engages all of them together at the same time. And it is a nightmare for aces. You cannot be tractor beamed. Tractored, then ioned, then tractored, then ioned. You essentially... You have no tractored, ioned, blocked. Tractored, ioned, blocked. You lose all agency if he's flying it perfectly.
Yep. Let's keep going down the list here. Marcel.
All right, so we got another scum and villain list. It's Nicholas God. Nicholas the God. He's flying Sursu with Tractor Beam. It's another Sursu listed on there. And then he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 Cartel Spacers with Auto Blaster and 2 Mining Guild TIE Fighters. So it's a total of 7 ships. And, you know, getting damage on 3 agility ships, especially right now with, you know, in 1.0, probably not that big of an issue getting damage on 3 agility ships, but in 2.0, it's sometimes a real struggle to get damage on 3 agility ships. So if you got 7 of them and then rerolls on top of that, it's just going to stay alive forever and it's just going to burn you down. And similarly, while at the same time as it is really hard to get damage on a 3 agility ship or multiple 3 agility ships, mm-hmm. for some reason two attack dice seem to do work. So it seems kind of hypocritical. It seems kind of like the Fize logic, right?
Right.
Because 3 agility, multiple 3 agility ships, super tough to kill. Yet 2 die attacks are causing damage. Actually, I even saw one of the matches, I think it was the top 4 or something like that, with the TIE Advance, that the little weapons disabled TIE Advance was just kept on plugging away damage at shooting over rocks and doing all kinds of stuff. So a lot of variance in 2.0. But yeah, I would not like to play against this list. Let's just say that I did not play against it, and I'm glad I did not play against it.
Which I got to give a shout out to Nicholas here, because if I'm not mistaken, he has made the top 16 for all the Space Jams so far. He's gotten knocked out in the first round every time, but it's close. It's close. We'll see what he does when we get to Sydney. All right, next one.
So we have Trevor Betts, a.k.a. Quackshot, running a First Order list, utilizing Kylo Ren with Proton Torpedoes, Hollow with Proud Tradition, a favorite of mine, and 2 Epsilon Squadron Cadet FOs. We've seen this archetype a little bit, not in the Proton Torpedo variation. Most of the time you see Hollow with Proud Tradition partnered up with at least 1 FO, someone to toss a token to. Here, take this little cadet buddy. And usually the third ship is like maybe a named SF or a better FO trying to get an additional gun. Instead, you know, add another blocker dude, someone else that Hollow can also pass tokens to if the other one's too far away, and just pumping more damage. Put that damage that could be from another ship into Kylo, because that is a much more nasty proton torpedo to shoot when it's backed up by 2 force, as Marcel knows, like Luke Skywalker. So 5-point bid as well. So I'd have to see what the average bids are in some of these lists. It seems some of the I-5 battle bids have come back a little bit, as we've seen. We talked about Rey and Guri and Boba a little bit. But I think on average, he will have second player. Pretty solid overall. Again, just seeing a lot more utilization of Hollow, either partnered with Kylo and finding pieces and ways to build it out and where to prioritize. You know, obviously, Trevor decides to prioritize Kylo, keep getting those points, providing the damage. Epsilon's doing the blocking and providing a place for Hollow to pass tokens to, and for Hollow to be as modified as possible.
One of the things I find really cool about the First Order lately, I know that they don't have too many ships, but the different combinations of like, oh, we're going to put in, you know, two SFs here, or an SF and an FO, or two FOs, like, just kind of seeing the different combinations people are using, and also the rise of Hollow, and I think that realization, at first we saw Von Reg, you're like, oh, Initiative 6, you go play, you just go play that Initiative 6, and realizing this is a significantly better ship. Has a ability that's useful, but not only useful, it's good. It's really good. It's
also pretty deterrent against opposing target locks. Like, you can't just target lock Hollow. Like, Vader's like, I want to shoot Hollow. No, your target lock's going to this guy. Or, hey, you want to shoot that proton ship? No.
So it's a very defensive and offensive ability when able to do things like, you know, K-turn and be able to pass off the stress. All right, next one here, Travis Williamson, bringing one of those Ray lists we were talking about, ZZ Talo, Tally. I mean, those are just, they're the Initiative 5s, both with Crackshot and Advanced Optics, the staples there. Now, this Ray has everything we've talked about before with a different, little bit of a different twist. We got Rose Tico, Corsella, which we'll point out here in a second, Finn, Contraband Cybernetics, Shield Upgrade, and Ray's Millennium Falcon. So let's go ahead and pull up Corsella, just so that we can do a little learning. After you fully execute a blue maneuver, remove all your stress tokens. So this synergizes with that Ray's Millennium Falcon title that lets you do things, that lets you boost and sloop. I believe those are the two things, right? Boost and sloop while you have stress. So Ray could have done that several times, maybe gone through a debris or two, and just do a single blue maneuver, and you get rid of all those. Because there is a limitation on the Ray's Millennium Falcon card. Is it three, guys? Two stress?
Two stress.
You can do it if you have two or less. So you can get up to three, right? And have done it. All right, so that is...
Another point on Corsella. Note that you suffer all obstacle damage before the trigger after fully executing a blue maneuver. So if you blue maneuver through a debris, you're not stressed.
That is 100% correct. Oh. I tried that with Node and Chaudhry, the super correct. Coordinate... transport with R4 and Corsella, and found out I can just go through debris and still get all the actions I want.
Correct. Just like how Vader would roll for strain and then use afterburners, or any of those fully executing maneuvers, it does work.
All right. So let's keep going. It's you, Will.
Stars adjusting my camera. Who we got now? We are on Stefan Sesnik.
Steven. I've he's one of those. It's not his fault, it's his parents' fault, but that's fine.
Anyways,
read him like you see him. he's one of the Florida Man podcast hosts.
Oh, okay. Now it's coming back to me. Anyways, we got Whisper with outmaneuver, passive sensors, fifth brother, and a stealth device. Echo with trick shot and collision detector, very cheeky there, and the Omicron group pilot, Lambda, it's the lowest generic, with the Emperor Palpatine. So a classic Palp shuttle backing up two maneuverable aces. The outmaneuver is very interesting on that Whisper. Cannot ignore that ship. And I did not realize that he was flying Trickshot Collision Detector on that Echo. That is so funny. Because if you are using collision detector, if you are spending the charge to ignore the obstacle to the end of the round, your opponent won't get that obstruction bonus, but you will get the trick shot. So going back to first edition, four dice phantoms. Oh, and Echo's maneuverability while ignoring obstacles. Anywhere. You can go anywhere.
Yeah, the collision.
Are we sure on the collision detector trick shot? Because I know collision detector only says ignore the effects.
Well, and the effect would cause an obstruction, I assume.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. It's the same thing with Kira. We made a whole video about it. It does work that
That's
way.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I know, because I used to, I flew Anakin with collision and torpedoes for that exact same reason, so I can hide behind the cloud and launch them without giving them the benefit.
Yeah, yep. Effects would be the obstruction on that, including the gas cloud effect that the defender would get.
Yep, and let's go ahead and take a second and talk about how good collision detector. Ryan, go ahead and break this down for me. How good is collision detector on these phantoms?
Really good. Because while you boost or barrel roll, you can move through and overlap obstacles. So the phantoms can decloak through them, so now they're uninhibited. They will still suffer the effects of going through them. And the second clause of collision detectors, after you move through or overlap an obstacle, you may spend one charge to ignore its effects until the end of the round, in which you have two charges to use out of that. Commonly right now, most phantoms are prioritizing passive sensors, Whisper being the main usage, but Echo likely can take more advantage of collision detector because you have many more different types of decloaks to utilize and trick your opponent as to where you'll be. So utilizing collision detector on Echo does make more sense if you're going to pick one or the other ship to put it on.
So good. So good.
Question to confirm that if you would decloak through a gas cloud, you still roll for its effects? Just like any of the other obstacles?
Yes. I know that's at least how I saw it throughout the entire Space Jam tournament, since we had multiple... We had Steve Sesnick on twice, once in the cut and once on the Swiss rounds. And both times double-checked, I believe, with judges at one point. And yes, you would suffer the effects unless you did spend the charge at that point. But a lot of times, if you're willing to go through that cloud, you're probably putting yourself in a solid position to not get shot.
Yeah, also, again, I'm a big fan of collision detector, used it a lot. And a lot of the time, you know, you're decloaking, and also in Anakin's case, you're barrel rolling before. So if it's a gas cloud or if it's a debris, for the most part, the only impact is, you know, you might have a token, but debris, you might have a 1 in 8 chance of getting damaged, but for the most part, it's just stress or red token. So if you have dialed in a blue, there is no impact because you're going to get that before you move. So,
all right, well, let's keep rolling, Marcel. Richard Owen III. I think my competitor with my favorite name out of everybody. It's just a very strong, royal-sounding name.
So he's flying the Galactic Republic at 195 with Obi-Wan, Delta 7, R4, P17. Help me out with that.
Two-charge pattern analyzer for Republic.
Gotcha. Okay. K turns on with calibrated targeting and 2 arc, 3 arcs with shield upgrade. This is actually a pretty interesting list. I like it. It's very similar to the Obi-Wan with Delta 7 and 3 arcs. The only difference is you can't really fit the 3 arcs. Basically you're given shield upgrade and an extra buff to Obi in exchange for, he loses Delta 7 in favor of calibrated, which ultimately makes him more survivable, I think, because the 3 agility, if you fly him cagey behind those Arc 17s, he's probably going to keep him alive longer. Interesting.
shout out as well. He's a local of mine. He's also like similar to Cody, who'd been flying his silencers a lot. Richard Owen has put a lot of time into many variations of OB plus either three arcs or three or four Y wings. So he's very familiar with the OB plus beef.
All right. So we got another first order list here.
So another first order list utilizing a proton torpedo on Kylo from Daniel Wachnick. Instinctive aim, advanced optics, proton torpedo, Kylo. I'd seen this combination before. It is pretty deadly. That is a very modified proton torpedo, even if you have to use instinctive aim. Because you just take the focus and you'll still have one force and a focus to use on the proton torpedo. So you cover one blank, not double blank, unfortunately, where a target lock could cover that. But you cover a blank result and an eyeball result and to count on getting your four hits. Otherwise, Kylo likely takes target locks if he can. And four TIE FOs, just bodies out in front, giving Kylo... I didn't see how Daniel flew. I don't recall hearing from anyone specifically if he flew the TIE FOs like a screen in front of Kylo, helping protect Kylo from opposing I-6s or I-5s with a higher bid. But it is interesting to see that we can get just Kylo with only four FOs to make the cut up, and without utilizing another key piece in FO to help him get to success. So pretty interesting to see, again, the value of those FOs and just a heavy Kylo.
And then last but not least, we have JM, a.k.a. Nutano, and this is that Guri tech that we talked about. So Guri with Lone Wolf, Advanced Sensors, Afterburner, Stealth Device, and Virago with that loaded out Dengar, Marksmanship, Proton Torpedoes, Auto Blasters, L337, Han Solo, Gunner, and Contraband Cybernetics. So if you are not familiar with the combination, we did talk about it last week or week before last with Teemo running that Dengar. You're able to take your target lock as your action, and then you use the trigger for Han Solo Gunner when you engage to have the focus in order to have that fully modified proton torpedo going into it. And then, of course, L337, after defending, you can go ahead and make, or after your opponent rolls attack dice at you, you can have them reroll attack dice. But the other side of the card is amazing. It makes those bank maneuvers going to the right now blue rather than being white, giving you a little bit more options with maneuverability. So that's the top 16 for the Space Jam. Now let's go ahead and let's have some fun here. Let's explore just a little bit. I want to go ahead and find the list. I want to talk about this Amelin Holdo list that we saw. We saw it on screen. It did win its game. He went 4-2. Oh, he didn't win the game.
No, it was the really close game against the triple IGs.
Oh, yes. That was the game he needed to win. Okay, I remember now. All right, cool. So, had a pretty good showing, but I want to talk about this combo because it's absolutely hilarious. I know you and Will were talking about it in the pre-show, so I'm going to go ahead and just give it over to you guys because it is absolutely hilarious.
All right, why don't you start by putting that Holdo up on screen so we can read it off verbatim.
Yes.
Because it is tricksy. There is a couple – it's very wordy, and there's a couple clauses that a lot of people are missed. I think a lot of people initially missed this specific mace in this. I'll break it down. I'll read the card, Ryan, and then you can break down how it interacts with the other pieces. So it says – before you engage, you may choose another friendly ship at range 1 to 2. You may transfer to that ship one token of a type that ship does not have, period. That ship may transfer one token to you of a type you do not have. So it's a lot of words to basically say that you can't token stack the same token, but both of those are optional. So I think most people are flying Greedy Holdo, where you're only using the, I'll take that token I don't have, thank you. And rarely using it as a support holdo, where you're giving out tokens to people who don't have them. Normally it's on an important piece. We see it here in Ray, who's looking for the Falcon only has focus, and I think that's it. That's the only token it can actually take outside of target locks, which isn't a token that you have yourself. Does this count for a target locks on you? I would assume it would, right, Ryan?
If you were passing off enemy locks, yeah.
Yep.
If, all right.
I guess I would assume if both ships have separate enemy locks, they still count as the same type, even though they're assigned to different ships. So you, right, couldn't, yeah, you couldn't do that because they're still the same type.
But you could give it to somebody out in, say, range 4 who doesn't even have a lock on them anyways. Kind of like what we were talking about with Hollow. And it's funny that they're almost the same word and have almost the same abilities. So, Ryan, how does Holdo help Ray and with these support pieces?
So I think the big key here is when Holdo came out, there wasn't really a ship to take a token from that was cheap enough and had a token that Ray didn't already have access to. Most A-Wings were taking focuses and either boosting or rotating their arc. They weren't normally evading. What we now have is the Fireball, which is only 26 points base. And if you think of it as a reverse type of coordinate, providing that ship with another action, but the key is it's a little bit better than coordinate because you can pull from any ship. It's still range 1 to 2. Your limitation is you can't stack the same token, but now you have access to tokens you never had in the first place. So that Fireball can just be tailing Ray and just taking evades. And now whenever Finn triggers for that adding a blank, that's adding an automatic evade, essentially. Now, specifically in the list utilized in the event, that Fireball also had Cloaking Device, which could not be taken in the Resistance faction, because even though it is illicit that the Falcon can have, Cloaking Device is small or medium ship only. So if at the beginning of the game the Fireball takes its first action to cloak, and then next turn start of engagement, or not even, yeah, it takes first action to cloak, and then first turn still Ray before engagement just takes it away, that cloak is now on Ray and does not have the Cloaking Device upgrade on her, so she never has to do the same role at the start of planning phase like the Cloaking Device card says so, because it's not equipped to Ray. So she can hold on to that cloak for as long as she needs to, whether she wants to decloak, which Falcon decloaking offers some very, very interesting and either pounce in potential or shifting potential that normally Ray wouldn't have access to, obviously, barrel roll, unless you're flying a quick build Ray with BB-8 somehow for those fun games. So what this also has in it, which was probably the most confusing part in my mind until I got it, was having a Swarm Tactics I-1 A-Wing. And I didn't really know like how that advantage could be taken in the whole string of combinations. But looking at into it further, and the actual Virgil himself got to me, because he was pretty entertained by my confusion on stream originally when he watched it back and explained it a little bit to me, is that the Swarm Tactics can be used on Rey to put her at I-1 while she still has the cloak. So if it goes into a turn where Rey's going to take a lot of shots, you keep the cloak, and then because it's before you engage, and she would engage at I-1, and likely, because of a bid, would choose second player, everything shoots before Rey. She engages, throws the cloak token off of herself with Holdo, because no one else has a cloak, and then shoots.
Yep, you can even utilize the transfer, assuming that you would have spent, say, your focus on defense during this engagement phase. You can trade that cloak for another focus token for your offense then.
Yep, you can actually do a true Holdo trade that I thought before this event Holdo required to actually make an even trade, not a greedy trade.
Yeah,
greedy Holdo is the best Holdo, in my opinion. Just start stealing stuff from your friends. It's fine. Don't tell Poe about it. It's okay.
So what I did, you know, one thing that kind of makes it a little easier to see is I went ahead and just separated those three sentences. And when you see it this way, you go, oh, it just kind of makes a little more sense. It's more like bullet points because none of the effects on the card are, you know, before you do this, you do this. And if you do, and that's what's missing. I mean, I'm going to say missing, but that's what's not in this this text for this card, is there is no conditional text outside of the token that you don't have already. Yeah,
very, very cheeky, very, very, very smart. Trust me, there's Dion, Ryan, myself, we've seen a lot of lists. All the interactions, and when things get our heads scratching, you know you're in for an interesting list.
It was really fun.
And like Virgil definitely he talked to me, he's like, he's definitely still working on it a little bit, trying to find the right spots, the right upgrades for everything. Even in the matchup, like we didn't get to see the whole Swarm Tactics Ray cloak token thing. But even something as simple as taking BB-8 as the transport pod instead of V-Marati or Rose, they can generate focus tokens. BB-8 can generate calculates. Ray can't get a calculate. So we saw multiple times in the game BB-8 transferring the calc to Ray so that Ray essentially for that turn has an extra force charge.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I think personally, the BB-8. I doubted the BB-8 at first until I barrel rolled, or no, what did I do? Yeah, I barrel rolled, decloaked, and then went in for a block. Like the amount of space, or excuse me, the amount of maneuverability that BB-8 has while cloaked, with his ability to boost or barrel roll in the system phase. Which essentially, I never thought about it, but being able to boost and then decloak is crazy. That doesn't, a pod should not move like that.
Yeah, we did see him pass the cloak to BB-8 to try and get a block on one of the IGs in the matchup. So Virgil's definitely willing to utilize the cloak in other manners to get that intimidation BB going.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, if... obviously, Ray is normally passing around the cloak because you only get two cloak tokens per game. Right? Every time you do that cloak action, you have to spend one and two charges. So they are pretty valuable. But imagining a decloak boost with Ray into a sloop and then to a contraband boost is pretty outrageous. Like, you don't know what that ship's doing. It could be anywhere. Very, very interesting.
Pretty cool. I love it. It's always fun to come across those. So, Virgil, thank you for the entertainment and the content, fam, because that was awesome when we came across it. All right, so we have a couple of questions of the week that I wanna toss out there, guys. So, one of them is more fun. The other one is... meta question here. So Grayson asked, I'll just go ahead and read it verbatim. So it says, the highest placing Boba list at Space Jam Los Angeles was 20th, and that was Teemo, our Rome champion. After seeing two Boba lists in the top 16 of the Space Jam Chicago, four in top 16 of Rome. I have to wonder what happened this time around. Did the metagame just adjust? Does this mean anything for upcoming points readjustments? What do we think? People just sick of playing Boba? What is your opinion? Will, you're up on the screen. You go first.
I think it's a combination of people having so much practice against Boba that it's no longer a mystery. We know your tactics. We know we're very familiar with all the what Boba should be doing, right?
Right.
Utilizing the Slave One, getting those getting range ones, things like that. So it's I think it's knowledge plus literal hard counters to it. We've seen it with what Duncan and Howard was flying in, I think it was the Texas System Open.
It's what won.
What? It's well, what yeah, won. I mean, and also this one. But we saw it first take on the Boba Fett and Finn list at that and show that that was a true competitor to that archetype. And then obviously still performing very well. If you can fly those, the 8-ship list does amazing. 11-ship, count the discords. and then, but I think the main thing is that essentially you either it's one of those how to describe it. I'll say that the mirror match. You want to bring Boba? You're like, Boba's going to win the tournament. I got to bring Boba. When you get matched up against another Boba, and they took the hull, and you took the shield upgrade, and now they can move after you, that's when everything could go all downhill. You go get matched up against just simply a better Boba player, right? And things could go downhill. So I think we're seeing the last holdouts of people who are dedicated to flying Boba and people who are doing the win at all cost kind of move on to a different list or maybe more interesting list or what they have like a personal attachment to.
What do you think, Marcel?
I'm going to go a little bit different way and say it's more of an... this is one tournament, and yes, it was a 148 person tournament, and Scum was still the most represented, and Teemo was super close to being in the cut, and in the cut, he may have completely won the thing again. I mean, you never know. I mean, that's he's definitely capable. So I'm gonna say after one tournament, I'm gonna call it an anomaly and see what happens in Sydney, because definitely 37, it had the most 37 Scum players. Majority of those had a Boba. Many of those had a Boba, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of the same thing that you get with, let's say, Separatist Swarms, right? So with Separatist Swarms or with 5A Wings or with other lists that are just, or with like these, you know, Ollie's Worlds list, the same one that Will flew or the same version that Will flew. It's one of those things that when they get matched up against each other, it's kind of a dice roll where a couple choices make the biggest difference or a couple dice make the biggest difference. But ultimately, they're good ships, they're good lists, they're cost efficient. And this is something that goes back to like the beginning of X-Wing is... You know, are you getting the value for your points? And Boba, especially with Slave One, gets the value for the points, just like these other things. The eight, you know, the list that won this time. You know, you get two plasmas, you get a bunch of hull, you get eight ships, you get discords, you get grappling struts, you get value. You get value for your points. 5 A-wings, you get value for your points. That's not gonna, Exactly. That's not going to stop. So Boba, until I see it not do well in Sydney again, actually, I'm not even going to say that because I don't feel right saying that. just because it didn't make the cut doesn't mean it's not it doesn't do well. It just had a couple dice going its way, and it just had a couple of those 50-50 shots. You know, it takes a lot to make the cut. It's not just flying well. It's flying well, getting favorable matchups, being able to overcome unfavorable matchups, and then it's a lot of dice variance as well. So I don't know. I'm far, far away from saying let's throw Boba with a 1 point slave one in the trash. Give me Boba. You don't put any other upgrade. Just give me Boba and slave one, and it's a competitor. You don't even need Maul. Just Boba and slave one.
All right.
And we've got a competitor.
Ryan?
Oh, I didn't hear my name. All right. So I'm mostly in agreement with Marcel. And it will to some degree as well. I think it's a combination effect. Some people may have just moved on trying to know the lists. People have learned more and more facing off against Boba. The anomalies we could, I don't know how the matchups, were played out. Like what were the losses the main Boba list took? We saw, like, if we look in the cut, Rodrigo's list favored against most Bobas, Bryant Francis push matchup, depending on bid and what Boba's partner is. Cody Wood silencers, who has a minor bid. If Kylo and Blackout moving after Boba, that's a whole lot better. Another Separatist list for Adam Kempers. While it doesn't have the plasma torpedoes, it's got the front proximity mines. Dutch using the 5 A-wings. We mostly kind of felt that the A-wings have a slightly above push matchup, as long as the A-wings are flown correctly and minimize how many ships are at range one. If Zari has intimidation, if it gets the bump on Boba, which I would assume if Boba has slave one, did not opt into that. At least the back arcs don't include a joust. Rebels probably doesn't do as well. I mean, they're all three dice attacks, but and Nora can be defensive at range one. Auto damage with the bombs from Vecna. Maybe Ian Beckers might have a little bit of trouble, but it's got multiple tractor beams to move Boba potentially. We know Actor Khan's been performing really well. I'm not sure how he's done face Bobas. More Sikhs, a bunch of 3 agility. So, I mean, I don't really see much in the top 16 or top 8, at least, that just says, oh, you probably just lose to Boba. Most things at least have a fight or have a solid trick or tech to use to benefit in those matchups. So a little bit of evolution, a little bit of learning, but I will have to see in a couple in the next Space Jam, and if there's anything else before a potential plan schedule next points update, to know if this really is a minor shift. This is not Boba going away by any means.
All right. And Grayson, thank you for your question. And Grayson, actually, in his post, did say he's a newer player. And this our Space Jam event was his first ever X-Wing tournament. So welcome. There's been a few people who are newer to the community who have never had a chance to go out to a major event, and it's really cool that we're able to provide that experience for people. So again, the Hemispheric Championship coming soon. All right, announcement coming soon. I don't know. The name's kind of sticking. I feel like I like it. You don't like it?
You don't hemispheric? Like... No, because you have the you have more of, it's more of a like northern hemisphere, lower hemisphere. I don't see
it's Western
like
and Western East? And Western Conference.
I like the old world versus new world.
Maybe old world versus new world, especially, like, you know what?
I actually like that better because we can go NWO, New World Order coming out.
And not only that, so if you look at the, and it depends on who wins Sydney, but if you look at, so William 1-1, that's in the U.S., that's Northern Hemisphere, and the second one was in Brazil, Southern Hemisphere, but it's still the New World. So maybe you know, new world, old world, depending on who takes Australia, east, west. And talking about people who played for the first time, I actually did play for somebody in Brazil. And, you know, one of the things I like about playing in these tournaments is that you get a lot more conversation in, because you're connected on Discord, than when you're in the game. Typically, you're across the table and there's very little actual conversation.
Yeah.
It's just,
isn't that crazy?
Like,
you talk to a person less than person.
You do, but most of the time you're thinking about your dial. And you're,
I think it's always the noise of the convention or the gaming hall or store or whatever is very loud, and it's hard to keep that kind of like constant flow of communication.
Yeah, and also like while stuff is moving, you're just having a conversation with people. Hey, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? And you know, it's just a lot. And while you're sitting, that it's just. Even though there's not a physical connection, the communication is there's a lot more conversation going on. But yeah, I played a guy from Brazil, and he's like, yeah, this is the first time I ever play in any tournament, and this is the first time I ever play in any international tournament. Like, this is,
it's a big deal.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah. Then yeah, good job. Pat yourself on the back. I want to see it right there.
Me?
Yeah, I mean, you put it together.
Humble Dion. Me? Well, me?
All right. And we got another question here. This one's a fun one. This is a fun one and a little bit of a head scratcher. This one comes from Trogdor. Again, you can submit questions on our Discord. You can type !! Discord in the chat to get the link, or click the link in the description down below. The question is, if we wanted more force using pilots for scum, why not Reiko Hardin or Hardin? I don't remember exactly how they spelled it. I'll finish the rest of the question and I'll tell you who this person is just in case you don't know. For most of his screen time in the Clone Wars show, that was Obi-Wan Kenobi in disguise. But he was in deep cover, flew a couple ships, and fought in battles as that bounty hunter. So, right there in the question, you do see the information that there's a series, I think it's 5-episode series, where, where they capture the real Reiko, and they basically use medical tech to change Obi-Wan Kenobi's face to look like him, and he's like in deep cover in prison. It's pretty cool. And yeah, he's a bounty hunter, like legit, like using like sniper rifles and flying ships. Do you ever think we'll see this pilot Obi-Wan, or maybe would it just be Obi-Wan Kenobi in like Reiko's ship?
No, I think that would be, I think this opens up a whole Pandora's box. What about Bausch? Leia's disguise as a bounty hunter. Whatever Lando was doing with that mask-helmet combination.
Mask.
He was not hiding that at all. Lando's personality would not let him be incognito. But sure, he had a disguise.
What have we any
other examples of like kind of that dual identities in Star Wars?
Not that comes to mind straight away.
I mean, it's not much of a disguise, but every time when like Ezra was like, "I'm Jabba,"
that's true. Or he put on the Imperial helmet, right? He was a cadet a few times. It's an interesting line of thought. I could see Reiko just coming into the game as himself. It could, you know what? Oh, it would be a cool like a crew card. You could have like a flippy crew card for scum or something like that. I don't know. You can have two Reikos. You have Reiko Hardin, Jedi in disguise. And Jedi Reiko Hardin, you know, feared bounty hunter. You know, like it's one is Obi-Wan and one is the real one.
That's interesting. It could give like a something where it like penalizes you for flying it outside of its own faction. Does that make sense?
Ooh.
Like, Obi-Wan might not be as powerful in Scum if he's in disguise.
Because he can't tip his hand the fact that he's a Jedi? He's trying to keep it secret?
Exactly.
Pretty cool. All right. Let's go ahead and hit some of these lists of the week before we send you all back to, back from whence you came, back into your caves. Here we go. Our first list comes to us from Neo Saturn, aka one of our locals. I don't know. James. And it looks like Ryan's going to go ahead and take this one. The list is as follows. It's a Scum list. And it's two IGs. It's IG-88A and B. And they both have the same loadout. Marksmanship, Auto Blaster, Fire Control System, Jamming Beam, Contraband Cybernetics, and the IG-2000 title. Paired with Nomlom, who has Auto Blaster, IG-88D, Dengar Gunner, and Contraband Cybernetics. And the prompt reads, Nomlom passes tokens and blocks up the path for the Brobots. Ryan, take it away.
Yeah, the general tactical process makes sense. The one thing triple IGs don't really have access to is a bigger area to block up some space, sort of that ship or ships to get in there and just let the IGs move around as they need to. Nomlom is really good at that, being I-1, a disruptor, and utilizing Dengar Gunner, saying, shoot me, but you'll be sad if you do. IGD, if it gets in tight and gets blocks, can much easily know to pass off the token, which, as a reminder for IGA, it's at start of engagement, so you'll have full knowledge of where everything ends up, and if you know if who's taking shots or who's likely to take shots. One consideration you could do, adjustment-wise, I was playing around with this a lot to see if it's worth shifting the pilots, fitting Dengar instead of Nomlom, but as I looked at it more, I did enjoy having Nomlom in there, so all the pilots are going to stay the same. I think if you utilize IG-88A like the player is looking to, I kind of see this as like a phantom-ish effect. If you were to drop the marksmanship on both the IGs and change fire control system to passive sensors, it's kind of like having phantoms that normally don't want to spend their evade token anyway, but have a force on defense, and a target lock ready and wait to have a lock on. I think the marksmanship is a little too gamey or gimmicky with the auto blasters. Like, it makes sense, it works, but these are medium based ships that only have access to boost. You have contraband cybernetics to help on those turnarounds and still get actions, but I think the auto blasters just helps get another a chance at another shot if you miss your first shot. So I think we've seen success with passive sensors on phantoms. Maybe we could see something similar work with the IGs. They got a larger health pool. They have natural 3 agility, and you obviously don't have to have both IGs. Use passive sensors every turn. You just take the one that is more likely to get a better shot with a target lock. You let the other two ships double calculate, and they could both pass to them. One of them could pass to them as necessary, and then still have a token defensively for the passive sensors. And maybe if you already have a lock, passive sensors, if like you're in a situation where the one IG was meant to kill a ship and the other IG already had a lock, and you took passive sensors anyway because see if he could move the lock over. Well, if that ship didn't die, you're still performing a coordinate action in the engagement phase. A calculate action in the engagement phase, which when the IGs calculate, they still get 2 anyway.
Awesome. Let's go ahead. And looks like Will's going to go ahead and take this next Imperial list. The list consists of Major Vinder, Sunterfell, and Redline. Vinder has Crackshot, Fire Control System, Proton Torpedoes, Advanced Proton Torpedoes, Advanced Slam, and the OS-1 Arsenal Loadout Configuration. Sunterfell with Crackshot and Targeting Computer, and then Redline with Passive Sensors, Proton Torpedoes, and Proton Bombs. The prompt reads, this list has two of my favorite pilots out there, and that's Redline and Vinder. Redline can double mod pretty easily, but Vinder only can single mod his munitions. Any help would be great. Help, Will. Help.
Oh, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to get some double mods on the old Vinder. First thing we're doing is going to drop Soontir off of there. Don't need him.
Whee!
He's an amazing ace when flown well. And these munitions carriers are going to draw a lot of heat off of them. But let's focus on Vinder here and Redline, because they're really going to be the stars of this. And let's start with... Ooh, man, we got 61 points. Delicious. So let's bring in an amazing support piece for this team. Both of them love locks. And you know who I'm thinking of already. It's Colonel Jinden. This is going to solve your slamming to get a target lock with Vinder issue. And it's also going to be... Well, it's not really an issue because slam is pretty good. But it's also going to solve your passive sensors waiting for combat so that Redline can get his torpedo off. It's really good because... Redline can just acquire two locks right away. That puts two threats out there immediately for that proton torpedo. He asked for mods. Let's give Vinder some more. Let's put in for a Palpatine on there.
Palpatine.
Yeah, so Colonel Jinden's super long-range support now between the Emperor and coordinating. Both Vinder and Redline very quick when they're boosting and slamming, so Jinden doesn't need to be nearby when supporting them. Now, I don't know how I feel about Crackshot. That's questionable. You shouldn't be shooting primaries. I'm going to be totally honest with you there.
Something that people forget a lot of times, the fact that the Crackshot doesn't work on the missiles. So it could have been just a passing... error.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's times when, I got blocked by a swarm or whatever, and I'll just shoot the guy behind the person I blocked or whatever with Crackshot. Let's just take it off for now. We'll come back to it if we care. You need Fire Control System. You need Advanced Slam. You need the Assault Configuration because we're getting the real heavy hitting. Now, I mentioned that we won't need Passive Sensors because Redline will already have his locks, so let's drop those. And instead, let's get Advanced Sensors. This does some really cheeky things because Redline's ability is not an action, simply says acquire a lock. He can actually get that lock off of the Advanced Sensors action. So doing things like boosting before a K-turn, just taking Advanced Sensor focus and then doing the 4K. A blocker came in. Don't care. Focus. Get the lock. Proton torpedo, proton bomb. Those are pretty staples. I feel like Redline should have a second munition, but he's got a white reload, so he's fine for now. But we are a couple points over here, and I might do something unspeakable, and what? I'm dropping the proton torpedo off of Vinder.
What?
I know. Drop it off. We got to get some points in there. And I'm going to actually replace it with... Yeah, Marcy. See, I knew I was getting in trouble for it. Drop the bomb instead. I mean, just hear me out. Okay.
I'm just curious. I'm just noodling.
We're going to... Not completely. We're going to replace it with... A missile. Diamond Boron missiles. So you guys are pretty bad at fighting a swarm. You're going to hit one ship very hard, but when you get multiple ships, we were talking a lot about how many three agility ships have been flying around lately. If you can get that hit out on a group of enemies, it could be devastating. What's our point count at then? Scroll up just a little bit.
I haven't been 197.
I'm keeping track on you and not on my own.
197.
I'm going to say put Ruthless on Vendor. Ruthless does work with the munitions, I believe. Am I wrong about this?
When you perform an attack, should be good.
Yeah, there's a 10 health Lambda shuttle out there, and he might be in range 1. So that's going to leave us 2 points. Obviously, Marcel and Dion here with a cringe against getting rid of the proton torpedo. You obviously can drop the bomb. Maybe drop it to seismics. I don't know. I think the bomb, what this list is going to be weak against is multiple ships firing at you. So the bomb is going to cover that. And also I think the diamond boron. But really look at all these modifiers on Vendor. Now you have fire control system, Ruthless. You have, palp and a focus. You can't get much more modifiers than that.
Awesome. All right, so you end up with Vendor with Ruthless, Fire Control, Diamond Boron, Advanced Slam, the OS-1, and the Advanced Proton Torpedo, Red Line with Advanced Sensors, Proton Torpedoes, and you said you wanted the Seismic Charges, right?
Leave it how it is.
And Proton Bombs, and then Jenden with the Papa, with the Palpatine. All right, we have another Imperial list here, but a very different Imperial list coming from 700. And what the question is, what would you change or drop? All right, so here's a list. We have 3 Saber Squadron Interceptors. Those are the Initiative 4s with Crackshot. Then Countdown and Pierce a Box sitting at 199 points. Go.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one, I like the theme of it. You know, the nobody ever uses the Initiative 4 TIE interceptors, and they're really good ships. They're not as good as the Initiative 4 scum Fang fighters because they don't get that. Well, one, they have one less hull. Plus, well, let's think about it. They have one less hull, and then on top of that, they also get no evade when they're jousting, but they get double reposition, so they get focus reposition. So I mean, they've got a little bit of benefit, but definitely not as much of a benefit as the Fang fighters. But I like the theme and all 4. So there's 2 ways to look at it. One of them, he said, what would you change or drop on it? So let's first start with the drop version. If I were to drop anything on it, I think the, you know, you drop the Countdown and the Pierce a Lot, but because we're keeping the TIE Interceptor. I know he said in his thing, he said, you know, throw shield upgrade on all of them and then throw Sunter on there. So let's get rid of the Countdown and the Pierce a Lot.
Burn them off, yeah. You said?
Yeah, just burn them off. Just kill them. Pew, pew. Yeah, good man. So he said, what would you, if you were to drop something, what would you drop? And probably add Synthra. Probably actually would keep the Initiative 4 thing and add an Initiative 4. The best ship at Initiative 4, well, that might be changing with Echo doing as good as it did, which Echo would fit in there. But no, let's leave with the 3 agility and the whole thing. So let's put a TIE Defender on there. So you've got let's do the just generic I-4 TIE Defender, yeah. And then one of the upgrades that's one of my favorites that we've been talking about today is the collision detector. Because they are predictable and they are very maneuverable, so the ability to get through those rocks or asteroids or whatever is in their way to really punch hard. Also, juke is really good. At I-4, you really don't need a lot of you don't need initiative at I-4. And then Jamming Beam. And Jamming Beam is mostly there for...
Phantoms, right?
For Phantoms or for free? I mean, it's free, right? I mean, really, it's free. And most of the times I'd rather put damage in even on Phantoms, but hey, it's free. So that way you can say you've got more upgrades than you really do. However, I actually like the idea of all the, you know, the five ships, the five ships out there. So let's take that Defender out of there. And then let's do a copy on one, and let's just add another Saber. So we've got four Sabers. We've got 51 points to play with. So let's go with another ship. And at this point, we're only changing the one ship. You know, so let's go with another ship that's also three agility, also very tough to kill. And it's going to make headaches for people, which is, and also stays at initiative four, which is the advanced prototype. You already know. You already know where I'm going. Finish it off for me, brother. Come on. Put it on there. I don't have to say anything. You're reading my mind. You're reading my mind.
There it is.
My brother from another Puerto Rican mother. You know what I'm thinking. Because it makes sense. Because, you know, at this point, you're using the...
For people who are just listening, that's fifth brother with homing missile and passive sensors.
Yeah, so basically the... you know, no matter who you shoot at, you're going to have a hard time putting damage in. The Sabers are going to clear all the tokens away. And then Fifth Brother is going to guarantee the hit crit at the very minimum. Yeah. And he's going to be able to do that every other turn. So, and they're all at an I-4. And there's just a little bit of... can you imagine this playing against 5X-Wings? Somebody asked, you know, where's Focho and where's 5X-Wings? And you have basically four Sunterfels and one Grand Inquisitor when you're playing against five X-Wings, because, you know, they're all aces at this point. So there you go.
All right.
And then you play against Boba Dengar, and you did not get this list from me.
And then you just say it. Alrighty.
Yeah, just you play against I-5 and you're like, oops, this game sucks.
Now, we have one more list. Now, I need to be honest about when I looked at this list, I was hoping that I wasn't the one who had to try to do the list of the week on this one. I was really hoping one of you guys would do it. So my response is not going to be, I don't expect to receive even a single vote in this list of the week here. Okay. Whoops.
You're dealing. I think you just guaranteed your own victory by just saying that.
Just, yeah. Yeah. All right, here it is.
Just burn it down and build it from the ground up.
I mean, that's the plan. So, Marsh, I love you, friend. I love you, friend. And they were asking, I really want Vinny. Vinny can hit really hard, and Vinny is great at defending when everything works. So, Vinny's ability reads... while you defend, if the attacker is in a friendly ship's mobile arc, you may add one focus result to your roll. And it's like, you see you got the resistance A-wings there, and that sounds really cool and all. But I look at this list and I ask immediately, why isn't Vinny Rey? Like, that is my initial reaction, just because Vinny, the lack of maneuverability on the Star Fortress, I think, really, really hurts it. You do get the flexibility of the bombs, which is nice. But, like, if somebody said, would you rather have Rey loaded out or Vinny loaded out, I'm going to take Rey. Okay? So, I guess, technically, by the rules, Marcel is right in the chat that the rules do say it can change one ship. I just feel really bad because the whole point was for it to be a Vinny list. And no me gusta Vinny. I don't like it. So I'm killing Vinny. Sorry. And then we're going to go ahead and grab Rey. If I'm not changing any other ships here, we're going to go ahead. Oops, wrong slot. Okay. We got Finn. You take Rose. And we have, like, a lot of points to play with here, okay? You take the contraband, because contraband, we still got 14. Then, which version do we want? Hey, Ryan, you should have taken it rather than talking shade in the chat, okay?
I didn't think of it till now what I would have done, but I would have axed Venny.
Yeah.
and did other stuff, but you keep going.
Yep.
Yeah, you got this.
All right. And then you go to taste here. You can go with the, let's go with the slicer. Freelance slicer. I mean, you got so many points. Do we just go engine upgrade too? Just be the best Falcon. And they have
Why not like a Procket or something?
Oh, jeez.
Now we're going to take Crack Shot over
not
here.
Not on Ray.
Yeah, a Procket on ZZ.
I was going to take.
ZZ loves Prockets.
All right, we can lose the engine upgrade and we can take the Prockets on ZZ. There you go. So you end up with ZZ with Heroic, Crackshot, Proton, Rocket, Advanced, Optics, Lulo with the same loadout minus the Proton Rockets. Then Ray with Freelance, Slicer, Rose, Finn, Gunner, and Contraband Cybernetics. And then Ray's Millennium Falcon. Now that I gave my actual opinion, let's actually try to do this together, guys, okay? Let's try.
I think I got a base.
Okay.
We're gonna bring up the first
for all the people raging at home and listening and watching and already turned it off. We're gonna give it a chance. Okay.
All right. I got an idea. Okay. Bring up the original, the OG list again.
This is it right here.
Drop literally every upgrade off of Vinny.
Zoom, 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 zoom.
Get them all off of there. Every single one. Take that from a 107-point ship back down to its 56 for a second. Just 1 second. We're going to put an upgrade back on. All right. Hit copy on Lulu for a second. Lulau, whatever. Copy one of those A-wings. Let's get another heroic A-wing in there.
We did it.
Vinny likes arcs, right? He loves those turrets. Make it a... Let's make it Tally. Why not? Right?
It's cheap enough. You still got 10 points left over.
And then I am going to put C-3PO on Vinny. C-3PO can get two calculates, which Vinny could use both on defense, or could be coordinating out there. You got 4 points left over. For maybe some crack shots or some seismic charges. But honestly, thinking about Vinny, like that 100, sure, trajectory or whatever, but like that 107-point ship is never going to last. It's never going to last. It sounds great on paper, but eventually your mods will run out. Someone will get behind you. But turning them into a cheap coordinating platform while your real threats are zipping around, that could be interesting.
You really think Lulo should still be in there?
Or
you think
I don't know. I mean,
no, Lulo's way too expensive. I mean, just throw Lulo into Greer.
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 I mean, you guys are the A-wing experts on that.
And then you can just go ahead and throw Trajectory Simulator back on Vinny with Trajectory Simulator and some type of bomb, maybe seismic.
Probably a seismic. That's easier to control. Even though you have the 5 points, seismic is easier to control to not maybe damage Vinny. That doesn't do a zero stop.
Okay, yeah, because actually Greer gives you so many more points over Lulo.
Yeah,
Lulo and two agility A-wings are not fun.
I was trying to be coordinating that Lulo some evade tokens.
Yeah, then it frees up Crackshot probably for ZZ and Tally, because Greer's doing the rear arc more than the other two.
There we go.
See,
all right.
I think with a team effort there, actually, that's not terrible.
Vote for Dion.
You see how I turned it around? All right, everybody. Well, don't leave if you're watching. If you're watching live, we're going to play a little mini game afterwards, and you're going to want to know what the prize is. Trust me, it's going to be fun. Just hang in there with me.
Are we eligible?
Are you? Yeah, you guys are eligible.
Right. I'll stick around.
All right. It's a fun little mini game because we'll cut off the recording because people at home see this is the fun that you're missing if you don't watch live. What we're gonna do, we're gonna do a little mini game, and the prize is the winner gets to choose what ship I animate next for our stream overlays. So whatever ship you want, you just let me know which one it is, and that will be our next animation that we put out there. All right, but before we go too far, we have to go ahead and put up our stream poll for list of the week. And I'm definitely stalling because the website right now is giving me the pinwheel of death. So just kind of waiting. Well, maybe not today. Not going to happen.
This was the day you were going to win.
Lost it. Well... That's all right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode of Gold Squadron's podcast. I know I did. This is the 157th time I've done this. Actually, no, I missed one episode, right? So this is the 156th time I've done this. And we're ready to do more. All right, guys. So hopefully you enjoyed it. If you ever have any questions, go ahead and reach out to us. Join the Discord. That's where we take all of our submissions for list of the week and question of the week and just... have opportunities to interact directly with your GSP host. Everybody, thanks for watching. Gold Squadron out.